Welcome to this cast from Global Integration. In this series, we'll share our ideas on what is different about working in large, complex, matrix and virtual organisations. These ideas come from our work with over 300 major multinationals and delivering over 100,000 participant days of training in over 40 countries. If you apply these practical ideas, you can make your team or organisation faster, less expensive to run, and more satisfying to work in. You can find out more about us at globalintegration.com or our blog lifeinamatrix.com. In this episode, I talk to Kevin Hall, CEO of Global Integration and author of the book Speed Lead, about developments in cross-cultural training and how it's becoming much more practical, moving beyond awareness and diversity into real business applications. Kevin, when we talked about this earlier, I was somewhat surprised to hear you say that there's a resurgence in cross-cultural training. But hasn't this been rather done to death? Surely cross-cultural working is now business as usual for many companies?
Well, yes, I agree. It has become very normal for people to work in cross-cultural teams and organisations. But I think companies are only now realising that it's part of their core skill set. In the past, it was very common to have a day-on culture, so we tick the box and move on to the next fad. But this didn't really embed the cross-cultural competence into the organisation. If you're going to be an international organisation, then culture needs to be a part of all you do. All the people management processes and skills need to be capable of working for a range of cultures.
How do you see the need for cross-cultural training changing?
I think there are a number of things. First, we're seeing a move away from the focus on expatriates. In the past, focus tended to be on training a limited number of individuals who were going to go and live and work in a particular culture. And in that situation, it makes sense to concentrate on the practical things you need to know per culture. But now we're seeing many more regular travellers or people who manage multiple countries. Perhaps they have a regional role. These people can't afford to spend 5 days on each culture. They just don't have the time. So they need faster solutions and they need something much more practical. Secondly, cross-cultural working has become much more normal and therefore the skills need to be much more embedded into the organisation. And so we're seeing people who work in reception, in call centres, in customer services roles, needing to develop cross-cultural competence in the way that perhaps managers did in the past. Thirdly, our clients are saying, we understand that cultures are different. We get that. We see that every day. What we want are practical tools to diagnose what's going on and to give us some choices on what to do about it. They want more focus on practical applications, how to run better cross-cultural meetings, how to make decisions more quickly, not just a load of interesting stories about how cultures differ.
But don't smart people work out how to manage across cultures for themselves?
I think to some extent that's true. But trial and error takes time and is pretty expensive. The cost of one transatlantic trip to recover from a problem can be 10 times more than the cost of training to stop it happening in the first place. The experienced managers we meet have kind of worked things out for themselves, but they tend to assume that others have got it too. We meet some very experienced managers on our cross-cultural skills training. They tend to start out sceptical, but always end up wishing they'd had the training years before. They tend to have noticed lots of things that work for them and built up a toolkit, but without a model or a process and tools, they find it hard to explain why things work or don't work. They also can find it hard to adapt to a new culture because each time they experience a different culture, they're learning everything from first principles.
Okay, so how do we make cross-cultural skills more embedded in the organisation?
Well, I think as with many other people's skills, we've got to make it much more practical. People want tools, they want applications, they want skills. Too much cross-cultural training is full of fascinating stories and light on what we do about it. I've been along to sessions like this in the past and they're really entertaining and people at the end of it say, wow, that was great, how interesting. But as they drive home, they start to reflect, but what can I do differently? At the end of the day, we don't want people who are just entertained, we want people who are skilled and can do something differently at work as a result of the learning.
What do you mean by tools?
Well, we use a systematic culture analysis process based on the key questions that people ask us in our training. Firstly, we get people to be objective about the differences they observe. What do they see? What do they hear? How do they feel in a cross-cultural setting? Secondly, we get people to analyse what the differences really mean. It's very common for people to misinterpret cultural differences. What they do is they assume that what they see in another culture has the same meaning as it would in their own culture. So we sensitise people to making that journey from what do I observe into what do I think that means. Then we give people a model, a culture abacus, which you can see on the Global Integration website. The cultural abacus is based on the 5 major drivers of difference in work behaviours. And we train people to use this model to understand the underlying reasons for the differences they observe. Next, we use a model we call the 5 Choices tool to help people develop practical ideas and alternatives on what they can do about the differences. And in the real world, this depends on lots of things. How much power do I have? Am I the customer? Am I buying? Am I selling? All these practical things we have to take into account. And finally, we get them to apply this process to typical real-world challenges, like running better meetings and making decisions, so they can actually embed the tools and use them to make better business decisions.
What about all the cross-cultural do's and taboos then? I mean, they can be rather fascinating, can't they?
They are, and we do a little bit of this, but we prefer to focus on really understanding the drivers of difference and the challenges that people face. There's so much to remember if you start listing the do's and don'ts, the taboos for all the cultures that most of our participants are interested in, and you never remember that stuff. Really, we'd recommend that if you're going to a culture for the first time, pick up a book that will cover those kinds of issues, the things you really need to remember that may cause offence. You'll never remember that, and it also makes for quite boring training to be presented lists of tips that you won't remember. This information is also widely available on the internet, so if you search on a culture, you'll find lots of information available. What we try and do is give our participants some of these resources to work with, but we think the underlying skills and attitudes are the real target of the training. The superficial knowledge you can pick up in many more places.
So where do you see cross-cultural training going in the future?
Well, I'd like to think it'll become much more mainstream rather than a separate subject where we do a day or 2 days on culture and then move on. If we're an international company, then cross-cultural capability needs to be embedded into all our management training. So does our leadership training cope with a diverse group of followers? Do we facilitate meetings in a way that works for different cultures? Do we present information in a way that works for different cultures? All of these should assume a culturally diverse group of participants and teach ways of working which are effective in a cross-cultural organisation. Too many of the theories we use in training today are Anglo-Saxon in origin and don't translate well to the rest of the world. I think the way to go is to move beyond focusing on diversity and differences and give people some real practical tools, some processes, some skills that reflect the reality of the cross-cultural world they work in.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Well, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And remember, all of the value of these ideas come from their implementation. Just give a couple of these ideas a try and see if they work for you. You can find out more from Kevin's book, Speed Lead: Faster, Simpler Ways to Manage People, Projects and Teams in Complex Companies. You can join the debate, ask questions or add comments about this podcast at our blog, www.lifeinamatrix.com. And finally, you can see more about global integration, download free articles, or contact us about our consulting and training services at www.globalintegration.com.